This puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Well, it's back to September, which means it's back to our regular format of Abandoned Manitoba. We had our summer edition, and now this is back to the regular edition. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadja. I guess we're back to Abandoned Manitoba Classic Edition.
The Classic Edition. I like this. This guy knows how to brand. Okay, so you gave us a clue a few months ago, so I'm guessing the listeners might need a reminder.
I needed a reminder. So what I said a couple of months ago is that we would be visiting a place called Assisippi, and that might make you think of a ski resort. It might make you think of a provincial park. It probably wouldn't make you think of a town, but that's in fact where the name originally came from. It was the name of a thriving town for at least a short period of time in the late 1800s.
Okay, so where does this story start?
Well, of course, Manitoba joined Confederation in 1870, and then the provincial government and the federal government began settling the province. They began finding settlers to take up a farm. The federal government allowed companies to get involved in this process, and so there was a variety of companies that were basically given the rights to some land in hopes that they would bring settlers here. One of those companies was called the Shell River Colonization Company. And the reason it got its name was that they were proposing to colonize with settlers from Ontario and other places around the world, an area where the Shell River flows into the Assiniboine River. And today, if anybody's familiar with Lake of the Prairies or the Shellmouth Reservoir, this is at the south end of that lake or that reservoir, basically where there's a great big sort of expansion where the dam is. The Shell River comes in from the east, and pretty much that's where the town of Assisippi was established. And by the way, the name Assisippi comes from the name of the river. It wasn't originally known as the Shell River. It was originally the Assisippi River, and that's a Cree word for this river. So basically, this company wasn't just going to bring farmers. They needed to provide facilities for these farmers. You know, they needed a town, for example, where they could get supplies, you know, and where they could sell their products, their farm produce.
So as given this land to create a community for the farmers.
Precisely. And so they started building. So one of the first things they built, for instance, is Assisippi was a dam. So people here in Winnipeg may be familiar with the old Grant's Mill on Sturgeon Creek. And basically what that was a dam where they could impound water, and the water would be used to turn a large water wheel, and the large water wheel would in turn drive a grist mill. A grist mill is where you take wheat and you grind it into flour. So they built a dam on the Shell River, and it was apparently a substantial one. It had a 12-foot-high head, 12-feet-high dam, so that they could provide water power to power this grist mill. And I've heard accounts of them making something like 5 barrels of flour a day, which is considerable output for, you know, an early flour mill. And farmers all around the area then were encouraged to bring their grain to the Assisippi flour mill. But they also had enough power left from the water wheel to also run a sawmill. You know, and this area is fairly wooded. To the east, we have the Riding Mountains. To the north, we have the Duck Mountains. So there's lots of trees. And so they started cutting trees, floating them down the Shell River, and then they would saw them into boards. You know, so you had lumber then to build buildings and so on. They also shaved this wood into shingles, because at the time, people didn't use asphalt shingles or metal roofs the way we do today. They used wood shingles. And so they had a shingle factory at Assisippi where they would make these shingles. But they had all kinds of other things as well. They had a brickworks where they would make bricks. And of course, bricks are a very valuable building material. They had a cheese factory. They had a church, they had a school, they had a boarding house, a livery barn. Basically, they had all the trappings of a town.
I love the cheese factory, just to add that to everything. Very important. So who was living here? Where were the settlers coming from?
Well, I don't know the entire composition. I know that by 1883, when the town was sort of reaching its height, they had some 50 settlers that had arrived from Ontario and their families. And by all accounts, things were going well. In fact, in 1885, I found a report where a group of locals had formed a curling club, the Shell River Curling Club. So, you know, there was obviously a social life as well as sort of an industrial life here in Assisippi. And I think the hopes were that Assisippi would become a major center. You know, all they needed really was a means of transportation to the outside world, because, of course, a lot of the products they were making at Assisippi, you know, the flour, the lumber, the cheese, the bricks, you know, they needed to take them to market, and not just the local market. They envisioned taking them far, far away. And so that what they really hoped for was a railway connection. They didn't have that, And they hoped that soon the Canadian Pacific Railway would pass by and they would be able to hook into that. And that was what they were pinning their hopes on, was the arrival of the railway.
And did their hopes come true?
They did not.
I'm guessing no, given it's part of the abandoned Manitoba
series. That's right.
What happened?
Well, it's a familiar story. It plays out all over the province, you know, where a town was established and then the railway missed it and they had to basically make a tough decision. Yes, in this case, the railway passed to the south. And so because they realize now that their products couldn't ever find an easy way to market, most people, I think, at that point gave up and they moved to someplace else that looked like it had better prospects. So some of the people from Assisippi moved to Roblin, and it's just to the north of the Assisippi site. Some people moved to Russell, which is to the south. But some people persisted. You know, typically when this happens, the town just evacuates and there's nothing left. But what I can find is that there's actually quite a thriving town that persists certainly well into the 20th century. So I think a lot of the industrial activity disappeared by that, you know, early days. So for instance, the company, that Shell River Colonization Company, they lost their charter in 1888. In other words, the government had lost confidence in them that, you know, you're not going to develop this town the way we wanted you to. So too bad, you lose your charter. And the brickworks, well, they ran at least as far as 1902. But there is still evidence of the brickworks. And I mentioned before, there are tangible signs of Assisippi. So if you visit Russell, for example, there's several brick buildings, two that I know of at least. There is a building called the Doig Block, which is sort of a two-story sort of a business building in downtown Russell. It's made of bricks from Assisippi. There's a house I just learned the other day called the Red House. In fact, one of the oldest houses in Russell. Likewise made of bricks from Assisippi. So they're, you know, the brickworks, even though it shut down in the early 20th century, its products still remain visible around us today. Going into the 20th century, they had a post office at Assisippi. Of course, that doesn't surprise us. It closed in 1917. So, you know, a sign that the town was kind of starting to disappear. There was a church. The church had been built in 1896. By 1924, I guess there just weren't enough people attending the services, so they picked it up. They moved it to the nearby town of Inglis.
So it still got its use, well, just in a different location.
Well, for a while, yeah. It turned into the Inglis United Church, okay. But I gather either they replaced it with another building or maybe it just wasn't thriving. So I'm told that it was renovated into a house. Now, I haven't looked to see if that house is still there, but I'm told that, you know, conceivably that original church from Assisippi is still in Inglis, just now serving as a house. In fact, in terms of houses, the school from Assisippi, it didn't close until 1947, possibly even later. That's the last record I can find of it is 1947. It was moved to Inglis and it was turned into a house as well. But there is one sign at Assisippi itself. If you visit the site, there's actually a nice interpretive trail that wanders through the old town site, gives you indications where the various buildings were. But there is one building left, the old boarding house. Because it turned into someone's house. You know, rather than being a boarding house where you would come and stay for a short time when you're visiting Assisippi, some people moved in and made it their home. And in fact, it was occupied by residents there until 1961. And there's a bridge. And of course, long-time listeners will know I'm a sucker for old bridges. There was a bridge built in 1893, and it's sort of laying forlorn in the Shell River. It collapsed in the early 60s, but it's still visible there too. So if you go to the site of Assisippi today, you can kind of reminisce and sort of think about what it was at the time that it was thought to be the next industrial center of Western Manitoba.
That sounds great. And I love that there's a walking trail there so people can go out there and still discover it from themselves.
That's right.
Gordon, thanks so much for that. And what's up for next time?
Well, of course, we have trees in southern Manitoba. A lot of them all have been planted. So next week, we're going to consider a forest in southern Manitoba that is actually pristine and a pre-settlement forest. And it's associated with an abandoned river.
Sounds great. Gordon, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Nadja.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.